As your minister, the minister, Reverend Andrew Patterson, has intimated, I've been asked this evening to deal with the subject of consecration. Consecration unto God. The word consecration appears 9 times throughout the scriptures. It is used in the book of Exodus. It is used in the book of Leviticus. And it is used in the book of Numbers. In the book of Exodus, it is used in reference to the sacrifices which the Israelites would make upon the altar. The sacrifice would be brought and it would be consecrated unto the Lord. In the book of Leviticus, the word consecrated is used regarding the service of the priests. The priests were consecrated or they were set apart to minister in the ordinances of God among the people of God. And then in the book of Numbers, the word is used speaking about the law of the Nazarite who was consecrated unto the Lord. And there it speaks about how the Nazarite would abstain from worldly things such as alcohol and other things that were displeasing to the Lord. And from the usage of the word, you can even get a picture of its meaning. It has a positive and a negative aspect. In the positive sense, it means that something is set apart. It is offered wholly and completely unto the Lord. In the negative sense, it means to abstain from that which is evil, from that which is worldly, and from that which displeases the Lord. Can I say, by way of introduction tonight, really 2 things? I would want to impress upon your hearts, young people, that being consecrated to God should not be an added optional extra in the Christian life. Never you think for one moment that somehow you can be saved, but that you're going to go on your life in your own way, you're going to do your own thing, you're going to live your own life, and have no regard for the things of God, the Word of God, the ways of God, or the will of God for your life. Let me remind you of what the Apostle Paul said in Romans 12 verse 1, one of the most famous verses in all the New Testament. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. And he's taking the idea from the Old Testament, from the consecration of the sacrifices unto God. And he's saying, you present your bodies that living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now listen to what Paul is saying, young people. He is saying that by the mercies of God, what are those mercies of God that he's talking about? The doctrines of the gospel that he expounds in the early chapters of the book of Romans. Your salvation. The fact that you are not under condemnation. The fact that you are justified, forgiven, freely pardoned from all your sin, united to Jesus Christ by faith. The fact that you have been saved and are being sanctified because of those mercies. The natural result or end of you being in Christ is that you present yourself a living sacrifice, consecrated unto the Lord. And Paul didn't stop there. He emphasized that little bit. This is nothing more than your reasonable service. Young people, look to the cross tonight. See the Savior bleeding and dying in agonies to save you from sin and from hell's destruction. Therefore, it is your reasonable service that you would present your life consecrated unto the Lord, set apart unto God, abstaining from all uncleanness, the filthiness of the world. I tell you, the natural result in the end of our union and justification in Christ is that we will be consecrated unto the Lord. Let me say something else by way of introduction this evening. Not only should consecration not be viewed as an extra in the Christian life, it is the natural result of our salvation and our justification, but consecration to God involves your body, your mind, and your spirit. I've quoted that verse in Romans 12 verse 1. Paul said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body. Paul went on in the book of Corinthians to remind the people in that church, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in you? Young person, tonight, remember this. God did not make your body so that you could abuse it with drugs. God did not make your body so you could poison it with alcohol and destroy it with tobacco. He made your body for the honor and for the glory of God. And He wants you to possess your body in honor, in sanctification, to be adorned with modesty and holiness. The Apostle Paul had to remind the church in Corinth in that very chapter, the body is not for fornication, it's for the Lord. Young person, if you're a Christian, you keep yourself pure. The body's for the Lord. And as I say, it is to be possessed in modesty. And it is to be possessed in honor and sanctification. Present your bodies. The Lord wants your lips to witness for Him. He wants your feet to walk with Him. And He wants your hands to work with Him. Present your bodies unto the Lord. I tell you, consecration, it also involves the mind. Paul said to the Philippians in Philippians 2 verse 5, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus. What mind was in Christ Jesus? John chapter 4 verse 34. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me and to finish the work. What did Christ do on this earth? What did He come to do? What did He set His face as a flint towards Jerusalem to do? To finish the work that God gave Him to do. If you are a Christian, young person in this meeting, God has a work for you to do. It may not be to preach the gospel publicly. It may not be to go to the mission field and to work in that realm. It might be in your own family. It might be in your place of employment. It might be in your university. It might be in your school. God has a work for you to do. And if the mind of Christ is in you, then your desire will be to do the will of God. Yes, consecration involves your body, it involves your mind, setting your mind to do the will of God. And it involves your spirit. The Lord Jesus Christ, as He hung upon the cross, some of the last words that He spoke were a quotation from Psalm 31 verse 5. He said, into Thy hands I commit my spirit. Place our spirit in the hands of a sovereign God who works all things out after the counsel of His will for our good and for His glory. Young people, will you present your body, your mind, and your spirit unto the Lord tonight and consecrate them unto your God? Now, having said that, we read this evening from Joshua chapter 14. We read of a man called Caleb. And I believe that in this chapter there is a threefold testimony to Caleb's consecration unto God. If you look at verse 8, in the end of verse 8, you will see that Caleb makes a profession himself. He's coming to Joshua and he's asking him for that piece of land which would be called Hebron. He's saying, I want this piece of land that was promised unto me all those years ago because I wholly followed the Lord my God. He wasn't making an idle boast. He wasn't saying one thing with his lips, but in his heart of hearts he'd gone another way. He wasn't playing the hypocrite. No, deep down, this man was speaking the truth. Here was a man and he wholly followed the Lord. That's consecration. If you look at the end of verse 9, you will see that Moses testified to Caleb's consecration. Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. You know, Moses was no fool. He had been in the wilderness for 40 years. He had watched the genuine and he had summed up who was false. He says, yes, Caleb, thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. Wonder, young people, do others see in you the fact that you want to go on with God? You know, the greatest testimony to Caleb's consecration is found at the end of verse 14. For in verse 14 we have the words of God himself. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh. The writer, of course, is speaking, but he's inspired by the Holy Spirit. God is speaking, and if you want a proof text that God testified that Caleb wholly followed the Lord, then you can turn back to Deuteronomy 1 and 36. I'll not turn it up. These are the words of God. And that is proven in Deuteronomy 1 and 36. But here it is, unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Young person, you can bluff yourself. You can bluff the preacher. You can bluff others, but you're never going to bluff the Lord. One day you're going to have to stand before him at the judgment seat. One day everyone else will be left to the side and you'll stand before God. Here's the highest commendation that you can ever receive, that God himself would say of your soul, of your life. That man, that woman, that young person wholly followed the Lord God. They give them their all to me. I tell you, that's what I want the Lord to say of me in the judgment day. What about you? There are four things about this man's life. My theme, I suppose, this evening is the characteristics of a consecrated man. And I have four things to say, and as God gives us grace and as time permits, we'll seek to get through them. What type of person are you going to be if you're going to be consecrated to the Lord? I want to say, firstly, you're going to be a young man or a young woman of great courage. You look at verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. Now I want you to notice this wee bit, and I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. He winds the clock back 45 years to when he was a young man, and he was 40 at that time, so I'm still well on the right side of 40. I'm still a young man. But he turns the clock back and he says, Joshua, to remember, Moses sent out 12 spies. And we had to go and we had to search out the land of Canaan and we had to bring back a report. And you remember the 10 spies. You can read about this in Numbers 14, 6 to 10. I'll not take time to turn it up tonight. But he says, do you remember the 10 of them came back and they brought an evil report? They said, Moses, the land is too difficult for us to go into and to possess. They've great armies, they've chariots of iron, they've horses, they have great armies, they're giants, we'll never defeat them. Let me say to you, young people, the majority in Caleb's day were disbelieving and they were disobedient to the word of God. That was among the professing people of God. That wasn't the world. That was those who professed to be God's people. And 10 of them turned the nation that they would not believe God and that they would not obey God. And that day, two young men stood forward. And they said, we're going to tell the truth. And we're going to do the truth. And they said, the land is good. And with God's help, we will conquer it. And with God's help, we will take it and we will possess it, just as he said in his book. My young people, the point I am making is this.
We live in days that are very similar to the days of Joshua and Caleb. I have lived and ministered in the land of Scotland for the last 7 years. And I tell you, if you think professing Christianity is bad in Ulster, you want to go there for a little while. The professing Church of Jesus Christ, largely speaking, wants to be disobedient to the Word of God. Here was a man and he was consecrated. And he had the courage to stand up and say, no, I'm going God's way. I'm going to obey God's word. And they were going to stone him and they were going to put him to death. But he said, nevertheless, I'll do what God says. Wasn't Daniel the same? Oh, there were many young Jews in the palace of the king of Babylon. And they all feasted on the king's meat, defiled and polluted and contrary to God's word. And one man stood forward and he says, I'll not eat it. He was consecrated to the Lord, for he purposed in his heart he wouldn't defile himself with the king's meat. Young people, if there are professing believers, other young people, and they want you to defile the Sabbath day, there's nothing wrong with going to the ice cream parlor after the evening's gospel service. There's nothing wrong with going to the chip shop after the evening gospel service. You be like Caleb. If they all go, you do what God's word says. You remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. If you're in university and there's young people and they're telling you, listen, it's all right to come to the socials. It's all right. And I don't know. I've been out of Northern Ireland 7 years. There used to be socials and they got together and they played a few games and they went home. I'm talking about the pubs and the clubs. It's all right as long as you don't take a wee drink. Young people, if there are other young Christians going, you be like Caleb. Don't defile yourself in the places of iniquity. The day of compromise is here. And if you are going to wholly follow the Lord your God, you are going to have to learn to say no to the world and no to sin and no to anything that is grieving to God, because your Savior died on the cross to keep you out of hell. I tell you, if you're going to be consecrated, you're going to have courage to go against the flow, even if it's against the flow of professing Christians. I want you to see, not only was this man a man of courage, but he was a man of conflict. Look at verse 12. Joshua chapter 14, verse 12. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. Wrath the Lord spake in that day. You see, whenever the 10 spies turned the people of Israel against Moses and Joshua and Caleb, who wanted to go in and possess the land, the Lord said, get back into the wilderness. They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. But the Lord gave Caleb a wee promise. He said, that land that you walked on, I'm going to give it to you. That's going to be your personal possession when you come into the land of Canaan. And now Caleb's reminding Joshua that Moses is dead. Joshua is the leader of the children of Israel. And he's reminding Joshua of this promise. The Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. Now, there was an enemy that possessed that land that Caleb had been promised. They were mighty men. They were giants, but like Goliath maybe, and they possessed the cities that were fenced. They were great men of war. That didn't put Caleb off. The Lord's given me that mountain, and it doesn't matter who's there, and it doesn't matter how great they are. Look at what he says. If so be the Lord will be with me, I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said.
He's ready to go to battle. And he's ready to enter into the conflict to receive the possession which the Lord had promised him. You see, the Christian life and the consecrated life is a life of battle. Don't you think that giving yourself to the Lord, you're in for a bed of roses and an easy time and all will be well. There's a battle to be fought and there's a battle to be won for God. And if you're given to the Lord, young person, you have a life of battles ahead of you.
There's still a battle to be fought today. Young person, this church, while I don't glory so much in a denomination, I do thank God for it. But there are battles this church is fighting. There are battles against sodomy. When this church protests every year against sodomy, in the city of Belfast, I think it's in the month of August. If you can be there, you be there. You make sure that your voice is heard. That movement in our land that wants to corrupt our young people, they want to teach our children in the schools this corruption and this perversion so that they'll grow up accepting it. When the church lifts its voice against it, you add your weight to it, no matter who sees you, no matter what people think about you. You enter into the conflict for God. I tell you, when this church raises its voice against apostasy, let me tell you something about the apostasy in Scotland. In the city of Aberdeen, a church of Scotland in the month of March issued a call to a man who is an open sodomite. He is living with another man, and the presbytery upheld the call. An evangelical minister, and I don't know what he's doing in that church, but he told one of his members in his congregation, he estimates that only 1/3 of the ministers in the national church in Scotland are saved. Only 1/3. When the church lifts up its voice against the apostate gospel and denounces churches for preaching a false hope, a false way, and a false salvation, don't be afraid to stand with the church in the conflict and in the battle. You know, we're not only to believe the faith, we're to contend for the faith. And this man wasn't, Caleb wasn't afraid to say, I might be 85 years of old, but I'm going to take on these old reprobates and these old enemies of the Lord. Do we get the victory? I tell you, there's the enemy of atheism. That old bus campaign in London and throughout the UK, there's probably no God, enjoy your life. And it's leading men and women to hell. We need to contend for these things. These are enemies of the gospel and enemies of the souls of men and women. And if you are going to be consecrated to God, you're going to fight the Lord's battles. You know, the evangelicalism today is like the men of David's day. Well, the wee lad of 17, he came down to the battle to see how it went. And what was Israel doing? They were hiding in their tents. I tell you, professed evangelicalism, they want to hide in their tents. And they want to shy away from the battle. And the Lord needs young Davids, just a young boy of 17, to raise their head and say, I'll take on the enemies of God. What about you, young person? You wholly follow the Lord. He was a man for the battle. He was a man of courage. Let me say thirdly and quickly, he was a man of consistency. Let me contrast verse 7 for you with some other verses. Look at what he says. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. Now, he's a relatively young man there. I know maybe some of the younger folk here tonight maybe think 40 or now, lad, you're well on the way to retirement, but 40 is still young, especially when you get to my age. 40 is still young. And here he's a young man. He's a mature man, but he's young. And he's going on with God. He's being faithful to God in speaking God's word and standing for God's truth. Now the next 40 years of his life were spent in the wilderness. The wilderness was a hard place. The wilderness was a discouraging place. But you know, throughout those 40 years in the wilderness, Caleb, I don't find him being bitter. I don't find him being angry against God. I find him holding on to the promises of God, being patient with God, for he knew that he would receive the blessing. It may be that some of God's people will not really experience the fullness of God's blessing till they get to the end of their lives. During that time, the time of your life, you should not be bitter or angry with God or angry with your brethren. Caleb could have said, it's their fault. I could have been enjoying the land of milk and honey, but I'm in the wilderness in a barren place. He didn't blame his brethren. He just held on to the promise of God. And he went through with God in the wilderness, the hard place. And then if you look at verse 11, he's speaking in the present. He says, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in. Now, I don't think he was speaking physically there. A man of 85, well, he entered into the battle. But I don't think a man of 85 could physically be as strong as the man who's 40. I think he's speaking spiritually. Right throughout his Christian life, right throughout his experience with God, he was as strong when he was 85 as he was when he was 40. This was a man who was consistent in his walk and his experience with the Lord. He wasn't a lemonade Christian. You know the expression? You fizz up the bottle of lemonade, you open it up, and it's all fizz and pop. And 10 or 15 minutes later, it's flat. Some Christians like that. They're all guns a-blazing for God in the early days. But then they go flat. And their walk with God and their experience for God, it goes flat and sour. That wasn't Caleb, he was Mr. Consistent. I tell you, the Church of Jesus Christ needs Mr. Is consistence in the work of God. Consistent in the worship of God. Young person, be in your place in the Lord's house on the Lord's day. Consistent in the work of God. Find a service for the Lord to do and do it with all your might and with all your strength and never give up. Consistent at the start, in the middle, and the end of your Christian life. Strive for it. If you're going to wholly follow the Lord, if you're going to be consecrated unto God, then you're going to be consistent for the Lord. I urge you to do it. Let me say one final thing in closing this evening. When we think about the characteristics of a consecrated man, he was a man for the battle. He was a man of courage who stood up before the brethren. He was a man of consistency right throughout his life. I could say more on that thing. Young people, there are, the scripture abounds with men who started well. I only have to think of Solomon. Yet he gave his heart to strange wives. They led him into idolatry. There are others and they started well for God and yet they made shipwreck. You be like Caleb, you go on and go through with God and be consistent. Let me close with this thought. He was also a man of communion with God. If you look at verse 13, it says, Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. His inheritance was Hebron. Hebron means fellowship. He was a man who knew what it was to have fellowship. Communion with God. What is it, the fellowship or communion with God? I think of what the Lord said to the church at Laodicea. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. I will sup with him and he with me. Young people, it's knowing something of the intimate presence of Jesus Christ in your life. It's having an experience of Christ being close to you, of leading and guiding you, of speaking to you, of leading you, of guiding you. And in Revelation 3:20, that verse was spoken primarily to the professing people of God. Maybe you're saved, but you've left the Lord out of your life. And tonight He's knocking again and He's saying, I want in. Open the door and I'll have communion and I'll have fellowship with you. And I'll draw near and I'll speak to you and I'll lead you and I'll guide you. Young person, He's the best friend you can have. He's the best guide you can have. I tell you, you need Him in your life. Hebron means fellowship. Caleb had got a taste of Hebron when he was a young man. That was the place that he'd searched out and he'd spied out and he fell in love with it all those years ago. And now he entered into it again when he was an old man. And I tell you, you'll want to have fellowship. You get a taste of fellowship with Christ when you're a young person. You'll want it all the days of your life to the day you enter into heaven. Hebron was a place that had to be fought for. And I tell you, if you are going to fellowship with the Lord throughout your life, there will be battles you will have to face. You'll have a battle with the remote and the television set. You'll have a battle with turning the old computer off at times. You'll have a battle with saying to your friends, I've got to make time for God. You'll have a battle with the world and the flesh and the devil. But if you're going to go through with God, you're going to make time to meet with Jesus in the secret place. I want to close with that thought. The Lord knocking at the door. He wants in to commune with you. He wants in to renew you and restore you. Young person tonight, beyond the voice of the preacher, I trust you'll hear the voice of God. Consecrate your life, your body, your mind, and your soul to the Lord. I tell you, you'll never regret it. Maybe tonight as I close, I get to play that verse in the gospel. Maybe you're not saved. Maybe you know nothing about what we've been talking about tonight. It's foreign to you. Because you've never been to the cross in the first place. You've never repented of your sin. You've never trusted in Christ to be your Savior. You hear the Spirit. You hear Christ tonight and He's knocking. He wants into your life to be your Savior. He wants to take away your sin. And He wants to give you life more abundant in Christ. Today, if you hear His voice, harden not your heart. Come to Him. Be saved. Give your life in consecration to Christ. The Lord bless His word to our hearts for His own name's sake.